In 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Well, I want to continue with a message that I started, I think the last message was early July, a series of messages called, the series is called Remain, which I believe the Lord had me to teach after teaching a message concerning authenticity and the importance of staying on the right road, keeping it real, the road, the elevation, the authenticity, and the levers, layers, not levels. And it's very, very important to follow the sequel called Remain. And I need to pick it up tonight. I've done two messages on this, one called Be Rooted, and the next one Be Established, because Remain is an acronym for being rooted. I would strongly recommend you go back on YouTube and pull that up. And also be established. If you're going to remain, you must be established. Tonight, we're going to deal with the M, and I'll give you the subject matter in a moment. Out of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, here we see the writer. We don't know if it's Apollos or Paul. Both of them wrote eloquently. But we do know that the strong revelation out of Hebrews touches not only the Hebrew people, for those of us in the body of Christ today, and he warns us against falling away or stepping back from the truth or allowing the truth to play a secondary role in your life. Whatever you have to endure for the sake of truth is worth the endurance, even if it hurts you, even if you don't get your way, even if you don't find peace, whatever you have to endure for the sake of truth is worth the endurance. Get it out of your mind that when you go to Christ, when you come to Christ, he takes away all of your troubles and problems. This is a faith teaching moment, a faith movement moment, a name it and claim it type mentality, which is not rooted in scripture. God rains trouble on the just as well as the unjust. And all of us go through issues, and even when you find Jesus and you work for him and you love him with all of your heart, something tragic can happen to you. And so I don't preach this unbiblical gospel that everything is going to be all right. No, when you come to Jesus, a target has been on your chest and on your back. You got to endure hardness as a good servant of the Lord. And out of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, it reads like this: we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Look at verse 14. Here's the verse: but solid food is for the mature. Underline that. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. If you still need teaching on righteousness and do's and don'ts, that's myopic. You're still an infant. But solid food is for the mature. Look, by who constant use of the scriptures have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. They have discernment. mature people embrace discernment. They don't have to get all trapped up before they realize they discern it. They're like the sons of Issachar. They know the times and they're desperate and they know what to do. I want to talk to you today and really enhance the sequel or the series called Remain, which is a sequel to Authenticity. I did Be Rooted and Be Established. Today's message is entitled Matured. Matured. I believe God is after maturity and development or the ripening of his people. We've been in this way too long to be bittersweet. We've been in this way too long to not know how to discern what's right and wrong or good from evil. Can the church say amen? Father, I thank you for thinking through my mind and speaking through my lips and giving me an utterance, giving me the ear of the learned. I bless you, Lord, and I thank you for this moment, and I praise you for what you're doing in the hearts of your people from around the world, and I thank you for the maturity that comes, the ripening of the fruit of your people. I pray that the manifestation of the nine fruit or manifestations of the one spirit will grow in the hearts of your people, which many of us are good with the foliage, but we need to grow the fruit. And I pray that out of this message will come a desire to push out and bud new shoots and ripen fruit. I come against the spirit of craftiness that comes to distort and to plant tares in the fields of your people. And Father, I give you praise for helping us to grow not seeds of wickedness, but seeds of righteousness. Fruits of righteousness we will manifest. I decree that now. I pray now that you would cause us to embrace fresh vision for our lives and help us to look out ahead of us into a bright fall. Not fall as in fall down, but fall as in seasons. For I believe something good will take place this fall. Have your way in all of us. Let every season produce something beautiful. And we will give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed. My heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Spiritual maturity is not measured by how long we've been saved or how long we've been walking with God or how long we've been a member of the body of Christ or how long we've been a member of a particular church. It doesn't even equate to how long we've known scripture. I believe spiritual maturity is tied to our emotional state, especially when we're challenged. Spiritual moments manifest spiritual maturity. Challenging moments reveal just how mature we are. Write it down. Maturity is revealed or manifested. It is unveiled. And how we respond when life challenges come our way. How do we embrace our belief system when life challenges occur? What do you do when you're challenged most? And what you do and how you respond when challenged most is an indicator of where you are in terms of maturity. I opened up the a few years ago a whole series of messages dealing with maturity and growth markers. To me, it was one of the most practical pastoral messages I've ever preached in the history of my ministry. I believe it can turn into a workbook. I believe it can turn into many workbooks. I think it can help our people really grow if you were to embrace it. And I think after that message, we should be able to look at surrendering unto the Lord and following God and all of the markers, the nine that we described, and measure your own growth and development from year to year and see, has there been a centimeter of stature to grow since that message? Has there been anything concrete that you can look back to see and measure your growth by it? Or are we still the same old when it comes to growth and maturity? I believe there comes a point in our walk with God that God wants us to look at our spiritual measurements and our markers to judge and to see, not each other, but judge yourself. Instead of pointing at others and where they are and marking how they are, what about self? How far have we grown since knowing the Lord? I've always wanted to pastor a cutting-edge church, and I've always wanted to pastor people who take the word and apply it to their lives, and that's including me. In my spirit, I'm sitting on the front row, and I'm listening to the word because it slaps me in the face before it slaps you. I'm the one coming up with this. I'm reading it. It comes to me. I have to measure myself. How do I respond to challenges? What determines whether I'm a good pastor or not? A good man or not? A godly man or not? A good leader or not? I can't look at likes on Facebook. These people don't know me. And you can't judge your effectiveness by how many people like you. You don't know who you are until they give you a thumbs down. Until they stop liking it, until they talk about you, until they walk away from you, until you're tested. That's when you really find out how mature you really are. I believe it comes to a point, we all come to a point in our walk with God where we've got to move beyond just reacting to everything that happens. I believe we need to respond and not react. Take a chill pill, wait a few seconds before you move. We need to respond and not react. Maturity requires a response, not a reaction. I was at the VA on Monday and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and then in my rib, and I'm not used to that. So when I turned around, it was my son, Omar. And I said, man, please identify yourself because I'm not used to that. I'm not used to people walking up to me and putting their hands on me. And so I realized, okay, I have triggers. Maybe PTSD. I don't walk up to strangers and become so familiar where I can just lay my hands on folk and hit them in the side of the arm or whatever. I'm usually cordial with people, and I greet hundreds of people every month. But I don't want to become so familiar where I just take that for granted. That's my biological son, and I wasn't used to him, a person, in a public setting, walking up, putting their hand on my rib cage or just off pinching me or something. Wait a minute. I realized it was Omar. He was being kind. We had a chance to embrace each other and to greet each other, and it was a good meeting. I don't want to react because there's something unfamiliar. I may be stepping on that which is closest to me. Because I don't know how to handle my own triggers. I may say the wrong thing to that which has my DNA. I may be walking on somebody in the body of Christ that's a fellow member of the church. And if I don't care, that speaks to maturity as well. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I know you don't. Because immaturity don't care about nothing but self. But when you become mature, you think about who you connected with. And you must care about how other people view you and what they say. It shouldn't control you when you're walking around and you can't move because you're fearful. But we should care about others in the body of Christ. And we should respond and make sure we heal right. When people are a little unfamiliar with us. Because my own son was standing behind me. Not a stranger. God desires to develop each and every one of us. Actually, we are all on a development track with God. Whether you knew it or not, he enrolled you in a new class called development. He's trying to develop maturity in every one of us. It's a constant course that God has his people on. So if you finish this one, you're going into another level of development because God is after maturity. He wants to develop that in every believer and to make us get us to the point where we're not easily shaken. Write it down. Not easily offended. Write it down. Not easily distracted. Or easily moved. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're not easily shaken. We're not easily offended. We're not easily distracted or moved. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Inasmuch as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I believe people who have spiritual senses that are sharpened, mature, have become trained to control themselves and to respond versus reacting when pushed. Discernment requires response, not reactions. First of all, we should respond to his voice. Discernment doesn't tell us who's around us. Discernment says, where is God? Where is God? Where is his voice concerning this? Where is his presence concerning this? Where is the gap? And if I'm a gap filler, I need to get God's presence, his righteousness, his truth, his word, his love in that space. And I need to stay there in the intercession until he shows up or until I'm relieved. I hope you got that because that weighs a little bit. If we are not to be shaken or offended or distracted or even moved, we're the people of God who are spiritually trained and our senses have become sharp. God wants us to be able to detect when his voice speaks. I'm sharp to know when God speaks. Not when you offended or when you look at me wrong or when you say the wrong thing. I can pick up God in the room. And I can pick up Ichabod when the spirit has departed from a situation. Now, I really would love to see discernment manifested in our church. Not just discernment of spirit, but discernment according to Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 14 is powerful. I love it. It reads like this, but solid food. Solids. not that food that's masticated by a mother and chewed that the infant can digest it, but solid food. If the mother has to chew the food before the infant can digest it, it means the infant is infinitesimal and very small and has not developed the ability and the acid in the stomach to break down complex carbohydrates or proteins. So mother helps with her own saliva and chews until she can take it out of her mouth and feed it to the child or the infant, and they're able to ingest and process it in their system. Because everybody didn't grow up with Gerbil. Some people came from the community of Hard Knocks, and they had to chew the food and feed it to the kids because they couldn't afford to go down to the store or to a BJ's or to a Kroger's or to a Walmart. What is that store in Vieira? Trader Joe's. There's another one. Costco. I like Costco. I want Costco to grow so much that they sell me BJ's down there. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use, by constant ingesting of solid food, have trained themselves to be distinguished or to be able to distinguish good from evil, right from wrong, light from darkness. Praise it. Praise be the name of the Lord. I say again, maturity is when you once had power to move. You now become the very thing that God uses to strengthen others. Maturity is when you have power to run, and you would, but now you've developed in such a way where you can stay back until you strengthen others. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas went through a lot. He meets Lydia there. He meets the slave girl there in the city of Philippi. He's beaten there, thrown into the inner prison, and meets a jailer there. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sung songs, and God shook the very prison and opened it up. But Paul doesn't run. What I love about that passage is that he remained in the cell. So much so that the jailer pulls out his sword about to kill himself because he felt like all of the prisoners ran out. And Paul said, even though it's darkening here, do not kill yourself, man. Though you beat me, don't kill yourself. Though you hurt me real bad, don't kill yourself. Though you're the one that caused me much pain, don't kill yourself. We are all here. I'm not leaving until you come out with me changed. Here we see true maturity. I'm going to remain right here by my own free will until those who hurt me are transformed by my message. A deeper way to see that, right? As soon as we're set free, as soon as we have freedom, I'm out and I don't care about nobody else. Paul says, I'm going to stay here and remain mature until the jailer comes to his knees. That which shackle me must bow before I go. And I believe God wants us to get some victories. You don't have to go to another church or a new region or a new marriage or a new system. I believe God can fix things right here. I couldn't get amens on that one. I said he can fix it right now. Yeah, he can. This is my third message on remain. Being rooted, being established, now be matured. Let maturity rise up in us all. Around the movement, let us be matured. We are on the move. Let us remain mature. And some of the things that I want you to think about when I teach tonight, or as I teach tonight, is reactions versus response. I want you to see another word. I shared it already. Discernment, or skill to detect. The skill to detect versus being dull of hearing, dull of skill. You got to run into the enemy before you can detect him. Well, we should be able to detect before we run into him. Think about reactions. I want you to think about discernment or skill. When exercised properly, will teach us how to discern good from evil, which is very needed in this season and time.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org.
Awaken Women, remember to join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School every Sunday at 10 a.m. Youth Church is in full swing. Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 8:15 and 11:15 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us. Ladies, it's time to manifest. Join host Pastor Sabrina on September 25th and 26th at TR Maine for two powerful days of surrendered hearts, disciplined faith, and intentional steps. Hotel accommodation is available at Hampton Inn and Suites. Use group code MNF or mention Manifest Women's Conference for special two-night rates. Don't wait to secure your spot. Head over to the Truth Reveal app or register online today.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Here's Billy Graham with a critical question about your family.
Is your home on a strong foundation? The successful home must be founded on the divinely ordered marriage. A marriage is not a one-year option. It's a contract for life. It's ordered by God.
The question now is, how do we set a strong foundation?
The answer is spiritual. It's Christ, it's God, it's putting God first in the home and in the family. And in order to have God first in the home, he has to be first in your life. I've never known a marriage that didn't have problems. But Jesus listens and always hears and answers your prayers. How wonderful to go to him in prayer. How wonderful to take your wife by the hand and kneel down beside the bed and pray before you go to bed.
Discover how to make God first in your life and in your home. Go to findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.